Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
On September 3rd, 1990, Betty Jones and Catherine Krigler were raped and murdered in an unsolved case known as the Labor Day Murders.
You sure you really want to hear?
I do.
This is as bad as it gets.
There was so much blood that it soaked through the carpet.
I never understood how scary it was, that sense of being trapped.
Now more than ever, I want to help solve the murder of my beloved grandmother, Mama Betty. Listen to Knock Knock now on Podcast One, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, in our live show from Indy, we're going to do a little blah, blah, blog. Also, unprepared as well. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance, they are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Live from the Helium Comedy Club in Indianapolis, Indiana, this is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah.
With Chris Loxamana on news and Bald Brian on the screen, plus rounds of blah, 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 and Adam Carolla's unprepared. And now, visiting Indianapolis before the woke police change it because of the word Indian, Adam Carolla!
Get it on. Got to get on. A terrific and a man to get on. I made notes for us tonight. Sorry, I was taking a piss. Shout my name. Okay, so just a little unfinished business before we get started here tonight. There's some travel controversy because I was supposed to fly home tomorrow morning. I live back in Los Angeles. You guys, while I like your town, you've not elevated yourself to the station of direct flights. So you did get yourself a P.F. Chang's. Which is, hey, that's great. Awesome. Like, that's my whole new thing. Like, people go, you're living in L.A. L.A.'s a shit show. Where do you want to move? I go, anywhere with a P.F. Chang's. I could live anywhere with a P.F. Chang's. And there's one, like, 100 yards from here. But you've not elevated yourself to the station of a bunch of direct flights. So I had a flight with a layover, which is tomorrow morning. So you guys should understand, and I'm just going to lay my cards on the table here. Thus, you think this is something glamorous that I do for a living. My living is we come home after a late show tonight. And when I say home, I mean a Hilton or Red Roof Inn or some whatever hotel I don't want you to know the name of. We would get back to that hotel about 1 a.m., probably go to bed about 2 a.m., and then meet in the lobby for whatever time you had to meet in the lobby to make like an 8:15 flight out of your airport. So maybe, 6:30 or something like that. Well, our flight schedule as of yesterday was we were going to fly from here to Austin, and then we were going to stay in Austin for a four-hour layover before we flew back to L.A. Now, we decided that 4 hours was too long a layover, so we switched a flight. We switched a flight, to tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. It's a 6 a.m. flight. So we shall get back to the hotel at about 1 a.m., go to bed about 1:30, 2 a.m., meet in the lobby at 4:30 a.m., tomorrow morning, get to the airport about 5 a.m., and then we have a 6 a.m. flight. But our 6 a.m. flight is not to Austin anymore. It's to Washington, D. goddamn C. So we shall be turning our backs on California and flying to D.C. Then we will spend 1 hour on a layover in D.C., and then we will fly 5.5 hours back to LAX, which will get us there about 11 a.m. L.A. time, which is better than 3 p.m. L.A. time, which we would have had to done with our 4-hour layover in Austin. But it still hurts to go, which way is home? And you go, that way. Which way are you all going? That way. Could you imagine telling that to the early settlers? You know what I mean? Like, imagine we had a covered wagon. And you're in Indianapolis on a wagon with a mule pulling it. You're like, we're going to California. But first, we're going to D.C. Many of us will die along the journey. So we will be on a 6 a.m. flight while all you guys are sleeping off your nachos and your 2-drink minimums. We will be heading to D.C. tomorrow at 6 a.m. And then heading back to L.A. on a 5.5-hour flight because you guys do not have a city worthy of direct flights. So let's lobby our congressman. I also want to say this. I sit around in Los Angeles, and this is an observation, but you guys tell me if it rings true for you. I sit around in Los Angeles. I watch a lot of commercials. Commercials for pharmaceuticals, for commercials for Subarus, commercials for every product under the sun, and I see the, you know, they have the mixed couples, the mixed friends, you know, got the Asian guy and the black guy and the lesbian and then the white guy, and they're all playing hacky sack in the park, and I go, that's bullshit. I've never seen that before. I exclusively hang out with white people. And then in Los Angeles, black people hang out with black people. That's the way it works. But I did the river walk. I walked your river. I walked the entire river this afternoon. I went all the way to the end where the waterfalls were, and then I went all the way to the end where it spilled out into the river that God carved with his dick so many eons ago. And I saw a lot of mixed couples and a lot of mixed groups and a lot of mixed friends. And I saw it. I saw it at the bar. We went to breakfast. I saw it. We went to a bar afterward. I think you guys have a lot of, like, built-in diversity. Not here tonight, obviously. This is essentially a Klan rally. And we'll talk after the show when the mic cools down. But you guys actually have what they portray on TV in Los Angeles, but you have it here in person. And also, it struck me as I was walking the river walk, they have the, you know, it's an interesting thing. You can tell. So Mike August and I were walking along the river and we're trying to figure out which places were apartments versus condos. And you try to figure out, well, what's an apartment along the river versus a condo along the river? And you can't tell based on architecture, and you can't tell based on siding, and you can't tell based on fascia or paint or roofing or anything. The way you can tell the difference between renters and owners is by the shit they put on their balcony. the renters have the fucking beach towels and the kids' toys and the fucking junk pushed out there. They treat the balcony like a storage facility, and the owners have nice furniture out there and a scented candle and wind chimes. That is the pride of ownership. But as we're walking across and around the river, I realized there was no graffiti, by the way. There was no garbage. I couldn't find a cigarette butt except for the one I threw out. There was nothing there that resembled trash or urban blight or graffiti or anything. And I also realized in L.A. we could never have such a river walk. Like, there would be homeless encampments by there. There would be, we couldn't even have a river. You guys don't have a railing. You just have a river. L.A. could not have a river without a railing. We'd have to have a fucking 10-foot fence around that thing. It'd have to be like a NASCAR event or something. There'd be barriers and fences. Otherwise, people would be floating in that river constantly. Let's see what else I wrote down here. I got the flight down. Oh, I made a note. Do you guys need... And we went into a tavern that was not too far from the hotel, like a pub. It was like a pub, had a beer, and they were just playing music. And some of it I liked, and some of it I didn't like. Do you guys need to hear the song Benny and the Jets ever again? I don't. It's fucking 49 years old. It was played at the airport before I left. It was played at the pub when I got here. I don't know what it's about. I don't know who Benny is. It doesn't have an ending. It just keeps going. It's 9 minutes long. It's been 49 years. Could we just fucking shelf Benny and the Jets? Don't need to hear it. Don't like it. Elton John has Daniel. He has many other songs I enjoy. I do not enjoy Benny and the Jets. I don't fucking think that old queen even knows what it's about anymore. He's got a mohair suit. That's all I fucking know about Benny. He read it in a magazine. It has no fucking end to it. It's 7 minutes long. That's it. I've spent my entire adult life listening to Benny and the Jets. I don't know what it's about. I don't like it. I don't want to fucking hear it again. Let me check my notes again. Did I mention we have a 6 a.m. flight tomorrow? All right. I will... Benny and the Jets. That's all I see on my fucking page there. All right. So you guys have a clean town. I don't know if you appreciate it, but you should appreciate it because Los Angeles is not a clean town. And you don't really have homeless people, at least in the parts of the town that I... Now, you guys go, oh, yeah. No, but not... I walked the entire river. I didn't see any homeless people. I walked most of the town outside. I did not see any homeless people. So you should be happy at your homeless situation. Los Angeles is not that. There's homeless every goddamn space you go. So you guys, I know, and it's a clean town too. I don't see garbage on the streets. People pick their shit up. I do want to say, I do have a little bit of a beef, which is, so last night, so here's the schedule, and then I'll tell you what happened this morning. We flew out of Los Angeles. We took a Benny and the Jets over here. We flew out at 11:30 yesterday at LAX. Took a direct flight because from LA you can go direct, but not fucking back. Took a direct flight out here, landed at like 5:30 or 6. Came straight to the club. Did two shows. Finished up the late show, got out of here about 12:30, maybe, you know, signed some autographs, took some pictures, whatever. Got in about 12:30, 1 o'clock last night, so it's a pretty long day, you know, got up early in L.A., fought traffic, got out, LAX, got here, did the shows, got back to the hotel, checked in the hotel last night about 1 a.m. And went up to the room, got comfortable, watched a little Sports Center, went to bed about 2 a.m. So been a 17-hour day yesterday. And then at 6:45 this morning, started hearing some noise coming outside of the hotel. Well, I didn't know what the fuck was going on at 6:45 in the morning in this town of yours. Because I was on a hotel that was right up against, is it Washington? I'm trying to think what the main drag is there. And I thought I was lucky enough to have the corner unit. So I had the whole corner unit on the 8th floor. But at 6:45 in the morning, I started hearing, "Hey, JJ, come on down." Music pumping. Guys yelling into a fucking microphone. I went to bed at 2:15. So at 6:45, I was like, what the fuck is going on outside of this window? Well, you guys decided to schedule your 13.1-mile half marathon. The goddamn day I blew into town. Do not applaud yourself, heroes. I looked out the window at 6:45 in the goddamn morning. Yes, I'm pointing at you. Miss, I need to prove it to myself, even though nobody cares about yourself except for you. I looked out the window at 6:45 in the morning. I was like, what the fuck is going on in this town? Guy in his hopped up trike wheelchair I saw going by at the bottom there. And I was like, what the fuck? I saw banners. I saw checkered flags. I saw like ribbons with checkers. I was like, shit, we got a NASCAR event. This I will sign off on. Indy, NASCAR, F1, whatever's going on down there, I'm into. But then I realized, oh no, this is middle-aged people trying to prove shit to themselves. Today was the half marathon, which shouldn't even be a thing. You either do a fucking marathon or you don't. You don't do a half marathon. That doesn't prove shit. But this goddamn thing started at 7 a.m. this morning and was directly outside of my hotel room after I'd gone up here and done the heavy lifting of dropping the comedy bombs all goddamn night. And there they were, 6:45 in the morning. With the DJ and the music. What? I'm looking at this woman because she did it. What is going on? Why do we need a DJ? Do you not know where the start-finish line is? Can't they just fucking direct you? Can't they silently direct you to the start-finish line? Do I have to have a fucking Casey Kasem yelling into a bullhorn outside of my fucking room? And then I thought to myself when I saw the guy in the wheelchair, you know who wins... You know who wins the marathons every year? Everyone goes, oh, the Kenyans. Oh, the Kenyans. Not the Kenyans. Not the Kenyans. Kenyans come in second place. You know who wins? The guys in the wheelchair. The people who have no use of their legs win the fucking marathon every year. That's how you know it's a joke. There's no way the Greeks had this in mind. Guy sitting on a mechanical horse wins the marathon every year. That's not what they'd plan. Oh, but they win every single fucking year. And then I saw a bunch of middle-aged, haunchy, fucking fat-ass women all the whole day. Oh, they're walking around with their... They got their medal on. You see these cunts with their medals. They're walking. They're doing a parade lap through the park. They got their medals swinging around those big middle-aged titties. As I did something that anyone could do if they wanted to get up early enough. That's essentially what that medal is. I did something any 9-year-old could accomplish if they set their alarm. That's all that metal says to me. They're all just walking around. They're fucking groups. And they planned it for the day I was here. Now, if they did that shit tomorrow, I'd be laughing my ass off. Because I would be in the lobby at 4:30 in the morning while they were setting up pylons and banners, and I'd be going, fuck y'all. But nope, they did it this morning when I was attempting to sleep until 10 a.m. What was your time? How'd you do?
I walked three.
You walk. All right, you're out. You're done. You can't walk a marathon. See, because here's the thing about walking. I walked from my hotel to the breakfast place today. Then I did the whole river walk. Then I went back to the pub. Then I got drunk. Then I went back to the hotel. And if you combine that to all the times I went to the mailbox over the last 6 months, we would have a combined 13.1 miles. Doesn't fucking count. You walk. You got to run. You can't walk. I don't want any walkers on this thing. What was your time? 3:30, which if you combine that, then you'd be at 7 hours, which is abysmal for an actual marathon. But you did it to who? Yo, I proved. Oh, I had a friend. Oh, she had ovarian cancer in 1989. That's right. Just how about you stay home and do push-ups then? Just prove it to yourself in your fucking living room. Do not shut down the entire town square so you can prove something to yourself. All right. You did it last year. You do it every year, right? Yeah, not every year, but you do it. It's a frequent thing, right? What time did you arrive at the event? Because it starts at 7, right?
Yeah.
And you finished a scant 3.5 hours later. Brisk walk. You know, one thing I did notice is like 700,000 porta potties lined up, which is how about you take a dump before you leave the house? No one in a wheelchair and no Kenyans stop along the route to take a shit. That's why they have such excellent times. Or maybe the guys in a wheelchair don't know when they take a shit. I'm not sure. They may not. I don't know. Did you get your medallion? Do you hang it at home on the wall? You make a Lucite case? People come over, you direct traffic. Those are the three half marathons I did, yeah. Add them all up, it adds up to a marathon and a half, but not a full marathon. Okay. Do you run on behalf of anyone's memory? No, you're just doing it to prove something to yourself, right? All right, next time go to the fucking park and do some hot laps. Would you? Prove something to yourself in your own fucking garage on your own stationary bike. That's what I'm saying. Don't shut down the goddamn city. That's what I'm saying. I was rousted out of bed at 6:45 this morning, disoriented. I had no idea what these lunatics were doing 8 floors below me. All right, should we get on with the show? So we bring out Bald Brian, who's up here.
What's happening, everybody?
They ran the mini marathon today, Brian.
I heard, and it's a real missed opportunity on your part, Adam, because, yeah, you were woken by the PA system. You should have just headed down and crashed the thing and MC'd. Like, hey, everyone, here's a real celebrity.
I should have MC'd. Yeah, they needed a professional on the microphone. I had this weird thing where I was like, you have to think about your brain in sort of like processing, right? So I was laying in bed at 6:45 in the morning, and I started hearing music and an MC coming from outside. And then my first impulse was like, are they throwing like a block party or a rave or what the fuck, like a hip hop something? Like, what is going on outside? Of course, I'm not an escaped Nazi war criminal, so I couldn't think they're running a half marathon. I was just like, what the fuck is going on outside? I couldn't, you know, I don't associate white people with making noise. Sorry. I just don't. It's not our thing. I couldn't figure out what was going on, and I kept like thinking, what is going on outside? I thought they were having some hip-hop jamboree or something, but not at 6:45 in the morning, and it turned out it was a bunch of white people trying to prove shit to themselves.
Further in your defense, in your sleepy, probably still drunk brain, yes. It was 3:45 a.m.
That's right.
So you were doubly confused.
Right. We have a little time difference for me.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, no, you got it. So, all right. So we want to play Blah Blah Blog. This is, I don't know. Should we have someone play along with us, Brian? We did it last night with...
Yeah, we should, for sure.
Rotten Tomatoes
game. Let's have the marathon runner play.
All right. She's not a marathon runner. She runs half a marathon.
Which I assume when she got to the end, she ran home.
It sounds noble, but really, if you apply the half theorem to anything else, like, I fought in half a war. One time I ate half a pussy. See, it doesn't work. I got two kids. I raised one of them. Not so good anymore, is it?
Brad Williams' daughter has half a dad.
That's right. I defused half a bomb. See? Not so spectacular. All right. Shall we play it, Chris? Chris, are you calling it over there?
I am. Here we go.
All right.
It's time for Blah Blah Blog, the game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
My biggest issue these days isn't the fact that people have opinions. It's that people force their opinions on others. If you don't fuck with something, don't. We're all having a human experience. We all deserve grace and patience and understanding. Is it Kirstie Alley? Miley Cyrus or Lizzo?
Kirstie Alley, Miley Cyrus, or Lizzo? So, let me give you guys my Kirstie Alley theory. There are people. I think, Brian, you're like me in this way, which is, if you put on 10 pounds, your face gains 7 pounds, right?
Oh, yeah. Chris can dig up some pictures of me screening calls at Loveline.
Right, so I get the big bucket head. So if I pack on just 10 pounds, I will see it when I'm shaving immediately. There are people, Kirstie Alley, who I like, who has a thin face. She has a face like an angelfish. It just doesn't gain weight. But her ass gets big. But when she's brushing her teeth, she sees a thin person wearing a bathrobe, right? Now, you may not like the big bucket head syndrome that I have and Brian has, but it keeps you on the fucking straight and narrow. You put on fucking 10 pounds, your face fucking says it, and then you look in the mirror and you brush your teeth and you go, I gotta do something, and thus you never get the fat ass. Kirstie Alley has the thin face, puts the weight on her ass, puts on 40 pounds and never fucking sees it because she's constantly just seeing this thin, svelte face in the mirror. That's what enables her to pack the weight on.
Plus, she has the benefit of being her head being framed by this glorious mane of
That's
hair.
That's right.
Whereas, I mean, if I put on, you know, a pound, it's just my head gets rounder.
Right, right. So, it is it's a deal with the devil she has struck. But so be it. Now, there's Lizzo. And speaking of Lizzo, she's a plus-size woman, which I'm fine with it. But I'm not going to celebrate it. They want us to celebrate. Like Dove soap wants us to celebrate fat asses. My thing is hey, fat asses in the audience, the best you're going to get from me is looking the other direction. I shall not celebrate your fat ass. I will just keep walking. Maybe I'll offer you like a pretzel stick, and I will fucking look down. I will walk the other direction. I will not celebrate your morbidly obese ass. And I've said many times, but I will say it again here tonight, I'm old school. I'm a little more Thin Lizzy and a little less Fat Lizzo. That's old school. But I believe this is a very even, middle-of-the-road thing to say. And for that reason, I'm going to go Kirstie Alley on this one.
Oh, interesting. Brian. That's the only one I can eliminate because Chris didn't put the proper stank on it. But the way he said, if you don't fuck with it, that's the way it should be said. That's what a young person says, younger than Kirstie for sure. There's no way she says that. Mm. I'm gonna say it's Lizzo.
Lizzo. All right, and our half marathon.
I say Lizzo.
You say Lizzo also. All right.
The blog belongs to Lizzo.
Oh, damn. All right. So is that two?
That's young people's parlance.
All right. Here we
what go. Is the parlance again, Chris? And would you put some of your flavor or stank on it, please, so I could discern it from the old people?
If you don't fuck with something.
Wit.
Well, they actually put FW, but we just said fuck with and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
All right. All right. All right.
All right. Next up. I see all of you celebrities and influencers who are too scared to use your voice on behalf of reproductive justice.
Adam Carolla.
That's right.
I see you talking about diets and makeup and your new movies as our right to bodily autonomy is being stripped away from us. We need you. Get engaged. Is it Kat Dennings?
Mmm.
Denise Richards or Alyssa Milano?
Mm-hmm. Kat Denning, Denise Richards, or Alyssa Milano? Kat has a rack that won't quit, so she's a fan favorite of mine. Denise Richards has not really been in the news for a while, so maybe this is her attempt to get back into the news. And then there's Alyssa Milano, who's like, my heart aches for her. And when I say that, I mean, I don't give a shit about that cunt. It's got to be weird just to be miserable all the time, right? Like,
yeah, Adam, it's got to be weird.
I'm not miserable. How dare you? I complain about everything, but I'm like fucking Dick Van Dyke the second this mic goes cold, clicking my heels together, enjoying myself. They're worried about the environment and the climate and what's going on in Ukraine and women's reproductive rights and everyone wants to get into their uterus and do shit with it and everyone wants to oppress everyone. It's got to be a miserable full-time job to be thinking of society and life that way. So that feels like it could be Alyssa Milano, but on the other hand, she's a layup. She's a perennial miserable all-star bitch. And then there's Denise Richards. What is she doing in this group? And
I'd be most surprised if it was her.
I know, but they throw these people out. They put people on this list to get me distracted, to go, why would she be on there? Or is it a red herring? And then how did Kat Denning get on there? I'm just going to go Kat Denning on this one because I love her unstoppable rack.
That's a sound strategy.
Yes, it is. It's based in science.
I'll go with Alyssa just because she's a perennial all-star. She belongs on all these lists.
All right, 13.1. You're going with Kat Denning on this one as well. All right, Chris.
The blog belongs to Alyssa Milano.
Oh, God damn it. such a layup.
All right. Billionaires be like, the left is taking over. Well, the number of billionaires in the U.S. couldn't even fill an apartment building, but the number of people they negatively impact is only growing. Is it?
That's the tweet?
Yeah.
That's the tweet?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How many units is this apartment building? You guys see Three's Company? There's only like four units in that complex. We got more billionaires than that.
Is it Gabrielle Union, AOC, or Sean King?
All right.
Who is that?
Is Sean King the white guy who pretends to be black?
Let me ask you this. He doxes everybody.
All right, let me just say this. There was a time not too long ago during World War II or the run-up to World War II. You think about Germany and Poland and places like that in the mid to late 30s when it became clear that they were putting a bounty on the backs of Jews, right? So if you go back to, I don't know, whatever year Kristallnacht was, and you go to Germany in the mid-later 30s, and or Poland and other surrounding European nations, there were Jews. And Jews had a legitimate concern about being hunted down and prosecuted and executed for the crime of being Jewish. Now, I don't look at being Jewish as a crime, I mean, at least not a felony, kind of a misdemeanor. They can be annoying. But in Germany, in the late 30s and early 40s, there were no non-Jews or half-Jews who were pretending to be Jews, because they understood there was a fucking penalty to being Jew, like that could get you killed. So now we fast forward to the United States in 2022, and it's systemic racism, and we live in a horrible racist society, and everyone who's black or Hispanic or female or lesbian or whatever has a target on their back. Then why is it that every half black and half everything is pretending to be full black? Why? Why is a white guy pretending to be black in a nation where we hunt down and persecute black people? Why is it Colin Kaepernick and every other Barack Obama? Why is every fucking half black pretending to be full black in a society where we hunt down and persecute blacks? It doesn't make sense unless we're not really that racist. And they get a ton of fucking shit that is positive out of pretending to be half what they're not. So that's my simple argument. How many half Jews were walking around Germany in 1941 going, what do you mean half Jew? I'm full Jew. Give me a break here. Have not seen my high or my star David? Yes.
No, inspired rant, great point. Explain to the audience what a Jew is.
Okay, you guys don't have Jews here. They run Hollywood. All right, so everyone's... All right, so what the fuck was this one? AOC. Let me tell you something. I got a lot of shit 4 weeks ago for saying if AOC was in her 60s and fat, would anyone listen to what that cunt had to say? And everyone looked at me and was like, what? I'm like, what? Back to you, bitch. We wouldn't fucking know her name. She was confused by the concept of a garbage disposal a year and a half ago. She's a mindless fucking retard. Why would we even know who she was? All right, so Brian, what do you think? And then we got Regina, who is that?
Gabrielle Union.
Gabrielle Union, who had a quit her talk show because it was racist or something like that. No. All right, all right.
Chris, can you explain to me in a sentence who Sean King is?
He's an activist who became prominently known for using social media to like dox like people who attack black people and give like put out their addresses and
He's from Indiana.
Oh, okay. He's a local boy.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll go with Sean King.
Is he white or is he black or does anyone know or care? All right. He's all white. All right. Must be awesome. Why doesn't he get shit like, God, what's her name? Rachel Dolezal. Like, isn't he the Ronnie Dolezal of Indiana? God, it's got to be fucking... It's got to be tough in 2022. Like, I'm still a race hustler. I got to fucking figure out a way to fucking turn a coin on calling everyone fucking racist all the time so I could write another book and get booked to speak at another university. All right, so, Brian, you're going with King?
That's right.
Who, by the way, so his mom's white, and he stated in 2015 that his mom told him his actual biological father is a light-skinned black man.
Mm. All right.
There you go.
All right, so... He's a quarter black, so he speaks for... fucking... The people that are into, like, all the racial justice are the people that are obsessed with what fucking skin tone every human being is. Listen, just fucking stand up and tell everyone to suck your dick. These guys are fucking... This guy's an asshole. Fuck him. He's just perpetuating this shit so we hate each other more. All right, I'm way behind in this game.
You're only behind by two.
I'm only behind by two, but that's massive. What? Read it one more time, Chris.
Billionaires be like, the left is taking over. Well, the number of billionaires in the U.S. couldn't even fill an apartment building, but the number of people they negatively impact is only growing.
Mm-hmm. Billionaires. Mm. All right. The ones who create all the jobs. Fine. All right. I'll go with... Shit. I'll go with Regina. Is it... Who is it?
Gabrielle Union.
Gabrielle Union. I'll go with Gabby Union.
And what about 13.1?
Oh, 13.1. Hmm? Sean King. All right.
The blog belongs to AOC.
Oh, God damn it.
All right, next.
Why can't these billionaires start paying their fair share? You know how much of a share my mom has paid into over her fucking flat broke lifetime? Fucking somewhere between Jack and squat. We would have no schools, no buses, no programs, no lifeguards at the beach. If my mom's, whatever she paid in taxes, we would have fucking nothing. But why can't Elon Musk pay it? Okay, shut up, cunt. Shut the fuck up. Jesus Christ. He's smarter than you. Fucking live with it, would you please? Not only that, it's like, look, here's the deal. Elon Musk is 3,000 times smarter than AOC, and then he just adheres to whatever the tax code is. So if you're pissed off at him, fuck with the tax code. This isn't him. This is him paying what he's required by law to pay, which is a fuck of a lot more than your ass ever paid. Okay. But that's all he does. You want to fucking... Well, I don't even get what the logic is. Like, yo, Elon Musk, you only paid $3 billion last year. Why didn't you pay $3.5 billion? Because I paid what the fucking law required me to pay. That's all. That's how the system works. If you'd like him to pay more, then change the fucking system. And by the way, you're in the system, so go ahead and work that out. All right, what else?
Well, speaking of Elon Musk, this next blog or tweet is about him.
Mm.
Thanks to Elon Musk, it's now legal again to open my Twitter mouth and start spewing out whatever my brain thinks. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Trump won. How sad that anyone in America wanted to prevent me from saying what was on my mind. Is it? Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Mm.
Randy Quaid.
Mm.
Or Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery.
That's a rose guy.
And we're going to answer this one in two and two. I forgot about Chuck. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's from Florida, right?
Georgia.
Or Georgia. She just seems like she's from Florida. She should be from Florida. And then there's Quaid, who's parts unknown. Do we know where he's from?
I don't think he knows where he is.
He doesn't know where he is. And then there's Chuck Woolery. I think Chuck Woolery on this one. I don't feel Quaid on this one. I don't think Marjorie is good for this one. I think Chuck Woolery on this one. What do you think, Brian?
I feel very strongly that it's Chuck Woolery, but that's not good for the game, so it's not Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'll go Randy Quaid. Even I believe it's Chuck Woolery, but for the fair competitiveness, Randy Quaid.
Well, thank you for your sympathy. 13-1. Marjorie Taylor Greene. All right, on the nose for Marjorie Taylor Greene.
The blog belongs to Randy Quaid.
Oh! Jesus Christ, eh? What, is he tweeting? I thought he was living in a root cellar somewhere, like in War of the Worlds. Was that him in War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise down in the cellar, Brian? Or
no,
who was that?
No, that was Tim Robbins.
He should be living like Tim Robbins somewhere, in a root cellar. Are root cellars called root cellars because they have roots in them? Or because you like can and bottle roots?
I assume it was down where the roots grow. Whether or not the roots are actually in them is a different story.
Brian's right again.
I don't know.
He's on a roll. Here we go, Chris.
I can't believe we are here. Book burning, bans on classroom discussions about race and sexuality, the erosion of voters' rights aimed at the poor and people of color. It's literally a right-wing crackdown on democratic norms. The worst are full of passionate intensity. Is it Mark Ruffalo?
That was a haiku.
George Takei or Josh Gad?
Oh, yeah. All right. Got an all-star lineup here.
Yeah, those are greatest hits.
I had the misfortune of doing Celebrity Apprentice with George Takei. Who literally brought up the internment of Japanese Americans from 1941 every 39 seconds. Like, it is insane to be sitting with a man in a van in Manhattan in 2011 and be talking about the internment of Japanese citizens every fucking 10 seconds, but he would not shut his fucking face about this shit. And at a certain point, I got angry and brought up the Bataan Death March. Yes, fucking Japanese were just, they were like Pippi Longstocking during the fucking war. You shut the fuck up, your old queen. I get it. We made a mistake, and then you guys bombed fucking Pearl Harbor and then raped everyone in China. All right. So we're even. Everyone commits atrocities. Ugh. Jesus Christ.
So you're going with the K?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, you're in this country and you're flourishing. Shut the fuck up. Just fucking shut up for 5 fucking minutes. Would you please? You're flourishing in this country. Please stop complaining for just 10 fucking seconds, as if these kinds of atrocities didn't fucking happen everywhere throughout time and history. But all right. And then there's Ruvlo, who's just like perpetually upset at the society. And then there's Josh Gad, is it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's fucking pissed too. I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
It could be easily any one of these guys. Chris, can we hear it again? It was a little soft. I mean, yeah. like in the tone.
Okay, here we go. I can't believe we are here. Book burning, bans on classroom discussions about race and sexuality, the erosion of voters' rights aimed at the poor and people of color. It's literally a right-wing crackdown on democratic norms. The worst are full of passionate intensity.
I'm going with Josh Gad on this one.
Oh, that's where I was going to go. All right, I'll go Ruffalo.
13.1. Josh Gad. All right. Are you tired from walking?
You had a day at Disneyland.
I mean, you had to walk from 7 a.m. to almost 10:30 today. Like, but what about people who, like, walk dogs for a living? Who just all day, they just walk. Should they get a medal? Or is that just what they do? Okay. Just checking. I used to do construction. I'd have to walk around the construction site. Should I've earned a medallion every day? It's just part of the job. Okay. Just curious. All right. So we got Josh, and Ruffalo.
The blog belongs to Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, Brian.
Brian
is crushed it. I'm going to call the slaughter rule.
Keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
Well, mazel tov to you, Brian. That was a good game. That was a drubbing. I don't even know what drub is. But I just got drubbed.
You got drubbed.
It's not really used in other parts of our language. A drubbing, right? Like you could get a drubbing, but
is it a weather term? Like a downpour?
I don't know. No one ever says like, "Oh man, I got a whole rack of ribs and I drubbed the shit out of them." You just get drubbed in games, but you don't really. I don't know where the drubbing part. Most of the stuff bleeds into other. You know, like, oh man, I was fucking this chick and I drubbed the shit out of her pussy. Like, it usually bleeds in other facets of language, you know, drubbing. But there is no drub other than in a game. You just get drubbed. What's it? Someone use your smartphone and tell us what the origins of drubbed is. And then maybe I could apply it to other facets of life, you know? But I don't feel like it ever gets brought up except for in a sport context if I was drubbed or this was a drubbing. I don't even... it's got to be Old English. What is it?
It's Arabic.
Boo.
And what do we... And what does it mean? I mean...
To beat, in
Arabic, to beat something is to drub. But no one goes... Oh, man, my old lady was giving me the stink eye, so I drubbed the shit out of her. Is that what it means, though? Oh, so I could drub a young lady who was eyeballing me? Or, like, my dog took a shit on the carpet, so I drubbed his ass. I just don't feel like people know what I was talking about.
I'm going to drub the shit out of myself in the shower later.
Yeah. So it's Arabic for beat on. Okay. All right. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
All right, Chris, should we drub the shit out of some news up here? Look who's on stage, everybody. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. All right, Adam. So we did have the Indie Mini today.
Yes, we did.
The largest half marathon period.
Yeah.
So there's also another big sporting event.
Well, it's only huge because other towns have the dignity not to put on a half marathon. So Boston, New York, L.A., they're like, fuck that noise. So you guys are competing with, like, Muncie and Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and other little drubbed-out towns that don't really, that can't really sustain a real marathon. So this is a fight amongst the lower level towns. So that's why you guys are, you're like, oh, we're the number one arena football team in the United States. That's essentially what you guys are with your half marathon.
Well, just down the street in Louisville.
Louisville.
There's a big sporting event, the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And just about an hour ago, they had their winner. Rich Strike is the name of the horse.
Oh, they ran the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah.
I thought they did that on a Sunday. What do they do it? All right, they do it on a... Is it Saturday every year? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Sunday's Day of the Lord.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Mm-hmm. So Rich Strike won. The thing about that is Rich Strike wasn't even supposed to be in the race. He entered, the horse entered Friday because another horse had a dropout. So it was in 20th position. It won with 80-1 odds.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Biggest upset ever.
Do you guys realize if I had just put $7 million on that horse, just, or even $4 million, I could retire. Yeah. 80-1.
80-1.
And Drake put $250,000 on that horse. No, I just made that up. Yeah. He bets on shit. I don't know. So, yeah. Drake's a Canadian black guy. I don't want to confuse the partisan crowd here.
Not since 1913 has there been an upset that big.
80-1.
Yeah.
Wow. Are the guys... And I don't know how many guys there are, but who is setting the odds, and then who makes sure those guys don't bet on the fucking horses? Because I would set those odds and then bet on that horse if I was the odds. I don't know, it's Vegas, it's Jimmy the Greek's son, you know, I don't know who it is, but like... There has to be more than one person setting the odds, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to prevent that person from betting on the horse, because if he fucking stacks the odds and then... All right, anyway.
All right, well, let's see here. So, baseball, Saturday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard a lot of baseball news, but there's a player that Brian should be familiar with, Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Former hero for the Giants.
Yeah. Pitcher. Or Mad Bum, mm-hmm. is his nickname. Mm-hmm. So a weird thing happened on Wednesday. So he was pitching, and in the first inning, he threw a few pitches that he thought were strikes, but the umpire was calling balls, mm-hmm. and he kind of gave the umpire a look as he was leaving the mound at the end of the inning.
Give a look.
Yeah, just kind of gave him a look. It's like, mm-hmm. like you're being ridiculous. And then mm-hmm. so he walks over to the dugout. There's an umpire waiting there, and I guess what they're doing is they check the hands of the pitchers to see if there's any sticky stuff. They've been doing it. And usually it's real quick. You just go up, pitcher shows his hands, the umpire checks it, and then they go back to the dugout. But this umpire saw what Madison Bumgarner said to the home plate umpire.
With a look.
And takes the umpire's hand, or I mean, takes Madison Bumgarner's hands and just starts rubbing them, like massaging them.
That's nice.
But is not looking down at the hand. It's just making straight eye contact with Madison Bumgarner.
Mm.
And it's weird. Like, you can look it up when you get home. It goes on for a long time. And it's so odd. So Madison Bumgarner just looks up and just goes, "Take your fucking time, man." And the umpire goes, "You're ejected. You're out. You're
right.
out." And just immediately ejects him. And then it gets in a huge scuffle. Coaches come running over. And it became a really big deal with, like, umpires just taking a little too much privilege with throwing people out. I mean, this is probably the most hostile I've seen, like, fans and players get with officiating. Like, the refs, you suck chant is pretty much every basketball game I watch now.
It's true.
How can you, if you're the home plate umpire, how can you really ascertain, like, a stink eye from 60 feet away? Like,
yeah.
I just feel like that's not provable, you looking... First off, you have to look into home plate anyway. That's where your gaze is. Secondly,
it was more than that, I think. It was more of like...
He
like,
can to walk off, yeah, you know, walk back like, to the dugout, give a look. You got to jump over the stripe, otherwise your
bad luck.
Otherwise your family's going to die in a fire because it's just fucking science. To step over that stripe. You know the guy who probably started the myth of you have to jump over the stripe when you're going back to the dugout, either the third base or the first base stripe? I bet it was the guy who stripes the field.
That was a groundskeeper.
I bet in the 30s there was a superstition that you had to kick the stripe for luck on the way back to the dugout, and then somebody went, "You know, you'll kill your family in a bus accident." And they went, "Oh, stay off my fucking stripe." Whoever's pushing that fucking chalk box fucking started that fucking wives' tale, right? Everybody jumps over the line I draw in order to do that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like all the part about baseball I don't like is all the kind of superstition, which is I was all right. Like I was all right with the batter doing the smack on the cleat with the bat. You know what I mean? Where they did the, like, in between pitches, they do the tap. Mm-hmm. They do the tap on the cleat. Fine. You're there. You're dug in again. And then at a certain point, there was a lot of, like, action going on with the helmet. And then they start putting the pine tar on the front of the helmet, which is totally unnecessary. And I would fucking fight that in court. Then... In the last, like, 8 years, they started with the Velcro on the batting gloves. Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about? The guy steps out, undoes the Velcro, and does it again.
It's a ritual.
It's definitely. A fucking ritual. Like, these guys have ADD at this point. Like, what's going on? First things first. You don't even need to fasten the Velcro on a batting glove. It will work just fine. It's probably cutting off a little of the circulation to your fingers because you've done it. These guys step out of the box, undo the Velcro, reattach the Velcro in the exact same place in between pitches. The average pitch count is 7.5 pitches, and it's 161 fucking games. Do you know how many times you unfasten and re-unfasten your fucking batting gloves? 7,000 times over the course. And where does it end? Where does it end? Hold on, I gotta untie and then tie my shoe again.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fucking take my pants down and pull them up again. I'm gonna redo my belt. Fuck that. Get up there and swing that goddamn bat. And what were they looking for? They used to look for Vaseline under the cap, right? Like when we were growing up, the guys would doctor the ball with Vaseline. You guys remember that? They put it like underneath their bill, which is kind of damning if you find Vaseline underneath the bill of a ball cap, because many Americans wear ball caps, but if you stopped your average American who was wearing a ball cap on the street, less than 40% of them would have Vaseline on the underside of the bill, maybe even less than 30%. I don't know. Yeah. This These guys are wearing ball caps. Let's see, let's just do a quick experiment. We got, is that a ball cap? No, that's a cabbie cap. All right, we got one, two, three. We got four over here. We got four guys, five. Out of the five guys I can see who have ball caps on, how many of you have Vaseline?
Yeah.
Just three of you? None of you. It's unnecessary. That's my point.
Yeah.
So what happened?
So
he got tossed.
He got tossed, and then everybody's criticizing umpire Dan Bellino, saying he's just getting a little too trigger happy. So he goes and makes a statement where he apologizes. He says,
"Oh, how nice.
I would like to address my actions on May 4th involving Madison Bumgarner. When I began my MLB career almost 15 years ago, I received some good advice."
Hold on. Don't do almost 15 years ago. Do over 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's stronger.
It's stronger, right? When I started my MLB refereeing or umpiring over a decade ago. You go over a decade. Don't go almost 15, but keep going.
Well, he says when he began his MLB career almost 15 years ago, I received some good advice. I was told to umpire every game as if my children were sitting in the front row. I fell short of those expectations this week. While I can't go back and change what happened, I take full accountability. I will learn from this incident, and I sincerely apologize.
Good. All right. We need more of that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I like that, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of baseball, Adam, survey the crowd just real quick. Obviously, I know who Indy roots for in basketball and football. Who's the baseball team out there? Who do we root for?
Cubs, Reds. Who's closer? You got to go who's closer. Who's closer? Reds.
Oh.
Big red machine. Come on, Reds. Man.
Your minor league team are the Indians, right?
Yeah. You got to change that.
Yeah. That's not going to last long. All right, let's do some Indiana news. So a Dollar Tree manager is no longer with the company after posting a sign at a Bremen, Indiana store warning that it wouldn't hire Generation Z workers.
Good.
So, everybody is on board. The sign complained that the store was forced to close after two young workers quit. And the sign said on the door, "My two new cashiers quit because I said their boyfriends couldn't stand here for their entire shift."
They wanted them to?
Yeah. And then it said, "Don't hire Gen Z's. They don't know what work actually means. We are now hiring baby boomers only. Thanks."
Oh, wow.
So Bremen, Indiana, that's your Dollar Tree store. Well, citing privacy reasons.
Wait a minute. Let me say this. I don't think people really understand the sort of slippery slope of shitty jobs that we make comfortable. I've told people about this all the time. I know people. I have a friend who's my age, and he got himself an apartment right on Ocean Boulevard in Santa Monica, California. And that apartment is probably worth like $4,600 a month. But
at least
maybe $6,500 a month. But it's rent control. So he gets this $6,000 a month apartment for $900 a month. So you go, oh, good for him. Except for the joke is on him because he's never going to leave, which means he'll never fucking own, which means he'll never have any assets to leave behind to his kids or accrue any wealth or whatever. So be careful about the thing that seems comfortable because we've removed the misery index from it, which keeps you sedentary and exactly in the same place you would have been when you were 23 years of age. Now, here's the thing about shitty jobs. They're supposed to be shitty. They're supposed to have a certain discomfort level to them. You're not supposed to work a grill at a McDonald's and enjoy yourself. You're supposed to be miserable and go, I got to get the fuck out of this and move the fuck on with my life. But what we're doing now is we want you to be well compensated and well treated and well taken care of, which will just keep your ass in the career version of the subsidized apartment unit, which means you'll fucking blink your eyes and you'll be 60 years of age and you'll be at the same fucking shit job at the Dollar Tree. You're supposed to have discomfort. Discomfort makes you move. Discomfort gets you to go, fuck, I don't like this. Relationships, jobs, apartments, whatever, neighbors. A little discomfort, a little, look, let me tell you something. You want to know how you get a pearl? You put a little bit of pebble of sand into the oyster, and that discomfort creates a beautiful pearl. And the next thing you know, you have a pearl necklace. And I don't know what's going on.
I really felt
like I was going somewhere, though. Didn't you guys?
Yeah.
All right. Your job. Shitty jobs are supposed to suck so you can move the fuck on. Sorry. Go ahead. One more.
All right. One more. Let's see here. Okay. Let's do one more Indiana story. This one's kind of weird. So an Indiana man charged with murder in the death of his wife, who had cancer and recently filed for divorce, won a local Republican primary election while behind bars. So
now you're talking.
Andrew Wilhoit, 40, of Lebanon, is charged with felony murder, accused of killing his wife in March. He allegedly hit her in the head with a blunt object and dumped her body at a nearby creek.
Let me tell you something about objects. When you get hit in the head with one, they're always blunt. If you get hit in the head with a throw pillow or a stuffed squirrel, it never makes the news.
We don't hear about it.
It's all blunt. Yeah. Everything you get in the head, hit in the head with is a blunt object. If you get hit in the head with a dream catcher, it never makes the evening news.
That's true.
It's always blunt.
Yeah.
Rarely.
That's right.
Well, Wilhoit, who is being held in Boone County Jail without bond, advanced Tuesday in the GOP primary election for one of three open seats. He received 60 out of a total 276 votes for Republican candidates. So if the charges, but despite the charges against him, he is legally allowed to run, but he will be disqualified if he is convicted.
I wonder if the guy who's incarcerated gets a little confused with his messaging. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if that guy's like, if you elect me, we'll only do shit on a shingle 3 days a week, and we'll all get more time in General Pop in the rec yard. Oh, and I'll lower taxes.
I want these gangs to have more diversity, too.
That's right. Yeah. All right. I don't know who our ball puller is, Chris, because I left the...
Oh, it's Emily.
I left the card. Is it Emily?
Yeah.
All right. Let's put your hands together for Chris Max Pata here. Let's bid adieu to our champion, Paul Bryan, man.
Yeah. Sleep well tonight, Adam.
And let's bring Emily up on stage to pull out some of these balls from the hopper. I normally have my card with all the official particulars on it, but I left it back in the green room. But Chris will hustle it out on stage. So Emily, who agreed to pull the balls from us here tonight, it doesn't seem to be here tonight. Oh, she's coming from backstage. Oh, all right. Well, look at you, Emily. Emily is a venue coordinator. No one knows what the fuck that is. Emily has lost 55 pounds? Wow. Look at you. How did you lose 55 pounds?
I took a solid 8 months off of drinking.
Oh, right. We talked, right. Yeah, drank a lot of beer.
Yeah. Like Brian said, boring.
So. Boring, but... Boring. But it's just, I mean, that's life, right? Like, everyone you know who's really lost weight, you go, how did you do it? And everyone, I don't know what we expect. Like, I was abducted by aliens and put on a strict diet. So it's like, I stopped drinking soda and beer and I started walking, right? That's essentially the story. All right, and you're trying new things. You raise chickens.
I do. We have 17 chickens. We had about 8, and we had for about 3 years, and then we sent them off to a nice farm. We actually did send them off to a nice farm. And then we now have 17 new ones.
Yeah, I'm saying, what do you do with these chickens? Do you harvest their eggs? Do you eat them? What do you do with them?
Yeah, we just raise them for their eggs. We have a coop out back, so...
Do you have to put them in a... Like, I always hear about people with chickens, and then there's always... Evidently, all of God's creatures want to eat chickens. So... The people, so the ones who consume the most chickens are Mexicans. And then there's white people that's just underneath. And then black people who statistically probably eat more, but we actually have the numbers. So we probably consume more in mass chickens. And then it's every other bird that flies, every hawk, everything in the sky. Every raccoon, every feral dog, like everything wants to eat a chicken. So do you have to protect them?
Yeah, so we have a nice coop out back that keeps them all safe from all the raccoons, any flying hawks. And then we have like a chicken tractor, which is what you just carry them or you like take them.
So hawks and raccoons and everything would eat chickens.
Yeah.
All right. All right, have a seat. Spin the ball. Hop around. And there's your ball. Wow, look at you.
I got it.
You did it with a certain amount of flair, which I like.
Cafefe?
Put the mic right up to your mouth there.
Cafefe?
What is cafefe? It's a what? Oh, Trump tweeted it? Oh, but do we know what it means? All right, I'll tell you a Donald Trump story. Well, I mean, we have Trump jokes. The greatest pleasure I get from Donald Trump, and I did Celebrity Apprentice, so like I understood the Donald Trump schedule. The thing about Trump. So I realized he was always kind of in a hurry. So like when I did Celebrity Apprentice, they'd say, you know, we're all going to meet out in the park and we'll be waiting there and we'd have to just stand there. And then all of a sudden Donald Trump would like blow in like a helicopter or something and he'd show up and he was always in a rush and then he'd leave and then we'd go to the boardroom and we'd all sit around in the boardroom and we'd be waiting around and then Trump would like show up and then he'd sprint out of there, and I had a couple of Trump jokes. I'm sort of agnostic on Trump. Like I'm not really like I'm fine with his policies. I understand everyone hates his guts. I get a lot of pleasure out of how insane many people go with Trump. Like it drives them insane, and I enjoy that. And I will give you an example. I have a dog, and my dog's name is Phil, and he's a 110-pound lab, and he just kicks the shit out of every dog that's around him. Not because he's mean-spirited, he's just a spaz, right? And he's like Baby Huey. He's like 110 pounds, and he's like, ow, 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 and he'll get around a cat or a little schnauzer or any dog. It doesn't matter. He rolls on them. He hops up. He goes like, ah! And then he jumps over here, and then he freaks out again, and then he runs in a circle. Now, Phil's having a good time. The 20-pound dog is not having a good time. All the 20-pound dog sees is a 110-pound black dog freaking out, and that dog is, like, going nuts. One day, I was going over to attorney Mark Garagos' house, and attorney Mark Garagos, who lives in my neighborhood, said, I'm having a Christmas party. And I said, okay, good. And he goes, bring Phil. And I said, all right, but you know, Phil's going to get in your pool. He's going to take a dip in your pool. Then he's a water dog, and he's going to roll around in the dirt. Then he's going to like run through the house. And he goes, no, I got a dog named Brody. And I'm like, all right, well, Phil's going to fuck this shit out of Brody. Like, Phil's going to fuck Brody up. Not because he's mean or aggressive, just because he's nuts, you know? And Mark went, yeah. I said, how big's Brody? He's like 60 pounds. I said, okay, be prepared. He's going to be a bottom. And Mark Garagos was like, Brody's pretty fucking nuts, too. And I was like, oh, good. They'll have a nuts off in the yard. Good. Let him do it. I brought Phil over. He's got his dog, Brody. Brody went fucking nuts on Phil. Phil, it was basically like what Buster Douglas did to Mike Tyson. Like, Mike Tyson is normally used to walking forward and intimidating everyone. Buster Douglas is doubling up on the jab and then coming with the overhand, and Tyson's like, what the fuck is happening? Why is this guy bringing the fight to me? Well, Brody beat the shit out of Phil. I came out the yard like 2 hours later. Phil was covered with dirt. There was no sopping wet, and Brody was dry humping Phil. And Phil was like, oh, Phil had been out Phil. And that's why I love Trump. Next ball.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. All right. Well, my mom, I've seen, you look, she's not a fan. Let's be honest. I've, you know, some of you, did anyone hear, or is there, we have any helicopter moms here?
Oh, yeah.
You got a helicopter mom? So you're always hovering over the kids. What's a helicopter mom? Like always in the kids' business, always hovering around, always involved. Too much, but you're there, very involved. But you can't help yourself. You're a helicopter. Yeah. My mom, not a traditional helicopter mom, a little more the last helicopter out of Saigon. Kind of helped. She hovered for a minute, and then she left the embassy. And never really saw her again after that. Mother's Day is... it's good for the ones who really love their moms, right? It's weird when you're sort of lukewarm on your mom, but society's intervened and forced you to do something on behalf of your mom. Like, what percentage of people here, like I would say, like, who really loves their mom? Could we see a show of hands? So that's... All right, so it seems like a lot. And then how many would say, I give my mom a 6? All right, the helicopter mom and the helicopter Tom, the dude, behind her. And like, how many people are below a 4 with their mom? I was thinking back. I was talking about this on the podcast, but I was thinking about this. I don't know why. You guys have these little flashes every once in a while of like conversations you had with your mom when you were 7 years old or 5 or 14 or whatever. And I had this weird flashback, which is my mom. I was probably a troubled kid. I was not a good kid, and I was probably like acting out. And my mom read some sort of self-help book that basically said, like, you shouldn't criticize your kid. Like, you shouldn't go, you're bad. You should figure out a way to word it that's, like, a little more digestible. And so my mom said to me when I was 7, after reading this chapter in this book, she went, it's not that I don't like you. Never a good beginning of a conversation with a parent. She goes, it's not that I don't like you, it's that I don't like the things that you do. And I just looked at her and went, I am what I do. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, bitch. But what do you guys do on Mother's Day? Do you do brunch? Do you do flowers? What is it that we need? What are you going to do, Emily, for your mom?
I'm going to buy her tickets to a show in Chicago.
Oh, really? She's in Chicago?
No, we live in Northwest Indiana, so I'm going to take her to dinner and a show.
What show?
I don't know. Maybe a show on Broadway.
Puppetry of the Penis? Can we all just be thankful that Puppetry of the Penis is not really a thing anymore? And that all those guys are putting in applications at the Dollar Tree at this point? Because here's the whole thing. Like, if you drive a forklift or you're a welder and your job fucking goes belly up, then you can get a job somewhere else welding or driving a forklift. But if your job is making puppets out of your junk and that business dries up, you can't walk across the street. Like, I don't even know how you get a raise when you do puppetry of the penis. You know what I mean? Like, I want a raise. Sorry, your cock and balls aren't worth a fucking nickel more than I'm paying you. Well, you know what? I'm going across the street to the Starbucks, and I'm going to do this maneuver with my dick and balls I call walking the dog or cats in the cradle, and we'll see who gets paid or arrested. Sorry, do we have another ball there, Emily?
Coddle flop.
What word is that?
Coddle flop.
Is that a word? Do you guys know what that is?
I see it.
I'm getting old, so I don't even know what coddle flop is. Do you guys know what coddle... Who created such a ball? What demon seed picked up a Sharpie and wrote coddle flop on this? Are they talking about cattle? It says it's very well articulated here. It says coddle flop. Now, flop is flop, right? That's what I'm doing right now on stage. And coddle is what you fucking helicopter moms do too much of. But we don't know who did. All right, well, then pull another one because I cannot. Oh, you played a little softball in high school, huh? Got a lesbian on our hands. I threw that fucking... Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Now, listen. You say... You know, you tell me how many years you're married. You tell me last time you sucked your husband's dick. I saw the way you fucking snatched that ping pong ball out of there. That's a lesbian. You say, maybe you don't know it yourself. You don't know it yourself, but the fucking one hand. Like Willie Mays. To snatch that ping pong ball. I threw it. I just underhanded it out there. Smack, pow. Like a fucking gecko picking off a fly with its tongue. Whoops. That's all lesbian, all time. I know who you're married to. They should know. That's a tell. That's a tell. Can't convince me otherwise. Sorry,
Emma. This next one says moist.
Moist. We get moist. Women hate the word moist, right? But you started by liking moist, and then you like moist if I put the word towelette behind it, right? So it's like moist you don't like. You don't like moist. You all make a face with moist. But if you put towelette or moist, if you put gerizer behind it, you fucking love that, right? You bathe in gerizer. But you don't like the word moist. But you like gerizer, so moist gerizer or towelette. So what if I said, like, Holocaust? And you're like, oh, no, no. What if I said Holocaust gerizer? And you went, oh, yeah, man. Fucking count me in. I love it. So how does your brain work? You don't like this front word. Like you don't like, let's say, ethnic cleansing. But if I said ethnic cleansing gerizer, you'd be like, oh, I fucking love that shit. Or if I said ethnic cleansing towelette, now you're all down with the cause? I would argue you really don't hate the word moist that much if the gerizer part you're in love with or the towelette you're in love with. And then what is it? Do you do a lot of moisturizing?
Personally?
Yes.
Yeah.
People do that. Women do that.
Yes.
Dudes don't do that, do they?
No, I don't think so.
Do you guys? Look, here's the whole thing. You don't... I don't want to fucking break it to you, women, but You cannot. First off, the average dude who's never put 1 ounce of moisturizer on has softer back skin than the average chick who slathers that shit on every fucking night before you go to bed. I swear to God. I swear to you, this is a fool's errand. You got every night before you go to bed, it's like you fucking lube yourself like you're trying to escape from a sewage pipe in prison. Like every night. Like, oh, I got it. I have to do it. No, you don't have to do it. What happens is you start slathering the shit on, and then your body goes, okay, bitch, you're going to do that every night. I'm going to stop producing whatever enzymes go on your skin that God does for you. And so you slather it on, and then you have to slather on more, and it becomes some sort of weird deal with the devil you guys make. I don't like to talk about myself, but every lover I've taken, and I've taken numerous lovers over the course of my life, and I've given most of them a pussy drubbing. Most. I don't get compliments, Emily. I don't get, oh, you're such a skilled lover, or no one performs oral. The only consistent compliment I ever get is you have soft skin. It's because I've never rubbed on any of that fucking shit Procter & Gamble and Johnson & Johnson is trying to fucking sell you on. I remember when my kids were infants. I had twins, and they were like 6 months old. Every fucking night, the nanny would lube them up. Like, my wife and the nanny, like a fucking full... It was like we're filming a Bukkake film in the nursery. Like, oh, they love it. They love it. Of course they fucking love it. Somebody lubed me down every night before I went to bed, I would have fucking thanked them, too. You don't need it. Let your fucking hair and your skin and your face, let it get back to a homeostasis, people. Just leave it the fuck alone. Just step back from all your moist gerizers and let God moisturize your face, or I'll do it for him. All right, thank Emily for coming out tonight. I want to thank you guys for coming out. I want to thank Emily. I want to thank Chris Maxipan. I want to thank Paul Bryan. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote, or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.